I'd like to have you look with me in the Old Testament to a book of Psalms, and I'd like you to go to Psalm 91. Psalm 90 is a very special psalm, the one that's right next to it, because it was written by Moses, and that makes it really special. It was placed here in the Psalter, the old rabbi said, because some of them thought that Moses might have written this one. But the fact is, it doesn't have an author. It's one of those psalms that's just out there, and so it could have been David or Nathan. It could have been Gad, or it could have been a number of different people who wrote in the Old Testament and put Psalms in our Bible. We don't know exactly who it was, but it has just a marvelous bit of information for us about God. So I'd like to talk with you about this. And as I'm reading this, I want you to look for something, okay? As I read this, I want you to look for the change of pronouns. There's going to be a pronouncement just at the first where the psalmist makes a declaration. And then as we go through it, you're going to see pronoun change. And it's going to change from I to you to another I that's not the person talking. So watch for those as we go through, would you? All right, here we go. I'm going to start off in verse 1 of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near to you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love on me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a great passage of Scripture. I mean, that's one of my favorites. And I just like to look at this with you and just share with you a couple of thoughts that I've had. I've been looking at it all this week, and it's going to be the psalm. The psalm is going to be the basis for all the verses we send out this week, like we did with Psalm 100. We're going to send out a different verse every day with a portion of this verse in it, okay? A banner for you every day. And I'd just like you to see this. It's great. I love this statement, don't you? I mean, this is one that everybody knows from this psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a statement. I mean, look at this concept. God helps people. Do you know God helps some people more than He helps others? Have you ever found that to be true? I mean, I've watched people and I've seen God help them, and He helps them and helps them. And there are other people here, and God never seems to help them at all. Now, it's not because God's a respecter of persons. It's because some people don't know about this relationship they can have with God. And they don't develop that relationship. And God promises something. I mean, this is amazing. Look at what the psalmist says here. He says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What great pictures. You dwell. You notice it's not visit. It's not know about. A lot of people know about God. A lot of people in churches know about God. But they don't dwell with Him. They don't spend time with Him. Do you know how to get to the secret place of the Most High? I mean, it's really easy to get there. You know what you got to do to get there? You focus. If you focus on Him, immediately you're transported. Much better than Star Trek stuff. Immediately you're transported right into His presence. And you get to be there in that place that's so special. In the Hebrew economy, they had their tents that the Bedouin shepherds would have their tents. And in their tents, in their dwellings, they would have their bedroom. And nobody went into their bedroom. That was the secret place. Let's face it, in our homes today, you don't usually entertain guests and say, would you go and see my bedroom? I mean, that's not the first place you take them, right? In fact, I've gone into a lot of people's homes and I've never been in their bedroom. You know, I mean, they just, I've also had to go into people's homes at other times, and I've had to go in their bedroom because somebody's taking, and you know, I know they wish I wasn't in their bedroom. You know, they didn't take care of that. It's a secret place. You don't take people there. And yet, the concept in the Hebrew economy was that you had this secret place, and if you were under attack and you had a guest there, you would put them in the best place of security you could possibly put them. You'd put them in this place that nobody else would get to. And in the Hebrew economy, you'd lay down your life for them, a guest in the house. You would die before they would die if people were after them. And so you have this concept of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow. Now, this week it's kind of warm, and we were down at the men's retreat. And you know, you walk out in the camp, and I can tell you, yesterday, or day before yesterday, you weren't outside in the sun for more than about 15 or 20 minutes before you were looking for some shade because you felt it. And everybody understands the shelter. You come under a shelter to get away from what's hitting you, from the elements. And that's a great, great passage. Huge wells in the secret place of the Most High. And that's dwells. And the word abide. Both have the idea of being there. Not visiting. But being there. You'll be under His shadow. And then I want you to look at the words. These are kind of interesting words that are used here for God. The Most High. That's a special word. It's a word in the Old Testament that gives the idea that God owns everything. He has everything. That's what makes it so hard to give Him gifts. That's why really the only gift you can give Him is yourself. Because He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need anything you got. Except you. And so He owns everything. And so He's the Most High. El Elyon is the concept. And then He is the Almighty. That's El Shaddai in the Old Testament. That talks about another quality of God. And then in this next passage, next verse, it says, I will say of the Lord. There's another word for God. I will say of the Lord. We read that a lot in the Scriptures. And we just read it because He's the Lord. But there's so much involved in the concept of that name, the Lord. That's just amazing. And then the psalmist says, and He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. And we again throw that name around. That name gets thrown around by the world all over the place, right? When people want to make an exclamation, they usually put O in front of that word, right? Because it's just thrown around and people don't understand how dynamic these words are. Let me just look at them with you. There it is. Sorry, it was out of line here. El Elyon. The Most High. It talks about God possessing everything. It's used a number of times in the Scriptures. And it is. It's always this great one who is so fabulous. He owns everything. I get real tickled watching people when they come upon a person who they perceive as great. Because their tongue gets tied. Their knees get weak. They act real weird as they're in the presence of somebody. And it depends on what genre turns them on. You know, it's whether it's in the sports world or in movies or in music or whatever. I mean, it's even in the Christian community when you get into people who've made names in that, you know, and they shake and quake and all this kind of stuff. I'll tell you what, when you know Him, it's not impressive what other people can do. I mean, they're gifted by God, and God, you can bless God for their gifts, but they're just people like us. And there's one. You remember, a guy came up to Jesus one day and he said, good teacher. And you remember what Jesus said? There's only one who's good. And that's the Father. People say, oh, this is awesome. There's only one who's awesome. And that's God, possessor of all. But He's also El Shaddai, the Almighty. That doesn't speak so much of His possessing everything, but is His provision. Abraham heard this first phrase, El Shaddai, after he had gone and rescued Lot from a battle in a battle setting. And God came to him and said, fear not, for I am El Shaddai. I'm the God who will provide for all of your needs. Remember that time he told the kings of Sodom he would not take any of the spoils of war, which is a normal thing that you did. He said, only for what my men have eaten along the way. And, you know, the other kings that are involved in this that helped us in the battle, you can give them stuff, but I don't want anything. Because I raised my hand and said, I'm not going to take anything. Because I don't want anybody to say that made me who I am. And after doing that, you know, sometimes you can kick yourself when you do stuff, you know. And I think maybe Abraham might have been kicking himself. I don't know. Because God shows up and God says, first of all, don't fear. And the reason he could have feared is because he didn't have a great military army, but they routed military armies. Not uncommon with God's men and God's people. But there's a chance of retaliation. So God says, don't fear. I'm going to be your shield. And I am your exceeding great reward, God says, because he's El Shaddai. He's the one who takes and gives of what he has to us. Isn't that neat? Because he could be stingy. But instead, he's the one who provides. He just provides. And he provides. What do you need? He provides that. He's got. Now, he's a good father, so he's not going to give you stuff that's going to hurt you. I told you about when Mark was a little boy, he wanted to play with a butcher knife when he was 3. I would not let him do it. And he cried. He said, I don't like you. None of those things moved me. You know? Because I was not going to give him that to hurt himself with. And God is a loving father. He's not going to give you things that you may not be mature enough yet for. And it may be not time yet. But he's good. And you can always trust that. The next word that's there that's used for the Lord is Yahweh. We know it. We've heard that word sometimes, Jehovah, you read in some translations. It's that name that means I am. When Moses stood on the mountain before the burning bush and said, who are you? And God said, I am. And he wasn't playing games with him. It's really a great word to introduce him. In the beginning, who was there? I am, yeah. And during the Old Testament times, who's there? I am. And during Jesus' day, who's there? I am. During our day, who's here? I am. And you know, in the future, he will be I am. He's always there. We can't think time like he does because everything that we know had a beginning. And some of the hard parts to get your head around who God is he's never had a beginning. And that's hard to do. I have a hard time with that. I can think about it a little bit. And as I think more and more and more, all of a sudden smoke comes out of my ears because my brain can't get into that. Because everything I know on the earth had a beginning. But you see, he's not of earth. He created the earth. And he didn't have a beginning. He's the I am. But it's great because you know he's going to be the same yesterday and today and forever. He's God. And we can trust him and go to him. And boy, all the great promises he made under this name. When he promised Abraham that he would be the father of a multitude, it was under the name of I am. See, I have some different names. And they relate to what I do. To some people, I'm daddy. That's great being a daddy. And I like that word. And to some people, now, I'm granddaddy. I'm papa. And that's a great word, too. To some people, I'm pastor. To some people that don't know me very well, I'm preacher. To some people, I am professor. To some people, I'm doctor. They all relate to different things that I do. So God's name all relate to different things he does. And this one relates to his promises. He makes his covenants with. And that promise, whenever I read the word Lord, what that says to me is here's a God who wants to have relationship with me. Because he wants to share with me. He wants to walk with me. Don't just read the word Lord and pass it over. It always is saying, I want to have a relationship. I want to be your God. I want to walk with you. I want to love you. He already knows all about us and he still loves us. It's amazing. And then the last one is the one that's just God. And that's Elohim. And that talks about his power. He created everything. I always love the story of Norman Schwarzkopf, who was the general during the first Gulf War that our country fought. And he came home from military, and people wanted to go into politics, but he's a military guy. He speaks and people do things. He couldn't handle being in politics where people speak and nobody does anything. And so he just couldn't handle it. So he didn't go that route. Instead, he just retired. And they interviewed him about 2 years after he'd been home from the Gulf War. And they said, how are things going in retirement? He says, it's taking a lot of adjustment. And they said, what do you mean? He said, in Iraq, I had 600,000 men at my beck and call. I'd say, do this. And they did it. I'm now home. I say something to the dog and it doesn't even respond to me. He had a lot of power, but men only have so much power. Can you imagine creating everything that's in the universe? I'm a guy who has enjoyed looking through telescopes and love to see pictures of the universe. I just think it is so magnificent to see how gigantic a place we have that God created. And He did it by saying, let there be. That's power. And so we have this God who this psalmist relates to. And he says things like this. Let me back up just a little bit. We'll get to that picture. But he says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him I will trust. Look at these words, refuge, fortress. Those are places you run when difficulty is taking place. The lie is that you can make it. You can stand and make it. Things can take you out. You need help. And God's around when those things take place. He says these words as he talks about that. It's just great. He says, surely He shall deliver you. You notice the change, right? He was saying, God's this for me. And then he comes and he's testifying. He says, surely He will deliver you. And you know how the psalmist knows? Because he's walked with God being his refuge. And he says, He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Snare of the fowler. That's a trap that the guys that want to catch birds set up. The bird, if he knew it was there, would not fly into it. But it catches him. Those are the things that, one of the things God will do is He'll deliver us from those situations where we walk along in life and Satan set a trap for us and we were deceived. When you're deceived, you don't understand that it was a trap. You don't understand what's going on. When it's an attack, you understand what's happening. But when you're deceived, you don't know about it until you've already gotten caught. Now you can't move. Our God's so great. You know what He does? He delivers us from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. In their day, you'd have stuff like the flu go around and people would die by the multitudes. You'd have dysentery take place because one person had it and it spread through the whole community and people would die. And he said, God will take care of you. And I really like that. There's this great verse. I love it. Don't you? He shall cover you with His feathers and under His wings you will take refuge. God is not a bird. But God sometimes uses birds to describe what He's like. And here He's using one of a parent who takes its chicks and covers them. Had a great picture. I know a friend who is a missionary, and this is another one. I like both of these pictures. I don't know which one I like the best. They're great. A friend told me about a missionary who went to a mission station. This is back in the 1960s. And he was in Africa, and a flash fire went through and just burned everything. Got in the brush that was there and just rapidly. The winds carried it, and it just wiped out everything. And so the mission station burned, a lot of village homes burned. People got out because it happened during the daytime, but it just total destruction because it's all just wood. And so he's walking down a trail going to one of the villages that got hit. And as he does that, he sees a nest over on the side of the road that had been in a tree and evidently fallen down. And there was a mother chicken, mother hen, that had been there, and she was baked. And she just was killed by the fire. She was baked. And he thought it kind of odd that this bird who could have gotten away didn't. And so he just, it was in the path, and he knew that decay was going to take place and stuff, so he just went and kicked it out of the path. And when he did, these little chicks just started running from out of it. You know what happened? The fire came, and that mother took all the heat, put the chicks under the wings so that they would live. You know what God does for us? Stuff comes, and He just says, come. You know why that happens? Because you're abiding near Him. If you're way away from Him, now I know He's everywhere present, but it's where you are in your mind. If you're way away from Him, the fire comes, you see the fire, you go, oh no! As it scorches you. If you're with Him, you go, Lord, it looks really weird out here. Can I come for refuge? And He protects you. So much of the mess we go through happens because we've chosen to live our life apart from dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Jesus one day was standing and looking over Jerusalem, not as it is now, but as it was then. And as He looked over Jerusalem, He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together, How often I wanted to gather your children together as hens gather her brood under her wings. But you weren't willing. And I wonder how many times the Father looks at us and He sees us in the destruction that's taking place. And His heart cries the same words. How many times? I wanted to take you and cover you. But you were just out there. You wouldn't come. Let me cover you. And the last part of that verse says, His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We know shield, right? To deflect things that come. And buckler. We're not sure what that Hebrew word means. It's one of those words we just don't understand. But it gives the idea from its etymology of wrapping around something. So there's maybe this idea that it's some kind of armor that wraps around you. We just don't fully know. But God's truth, and the word in the Hebrew is actually His faithfulness. It's just constantly faithful. Everything He says and does is true. That becomes our shield and our buckler. You know why I want you to hear stories about what God's doing in people's lives? Well, first to give Him praise and honor, but so that you can understand that God's faithful. And you need to abide in Him so that you can run there during those times and He'll provide for you help because He's faithful. And His faithfulness, His truth is that shield and buckler. You don't have to listen to the lies of the evil one. You don't have to be influenced by the ways of the world. We are made to walk differently in this world because we're His. That's not something for pride. That's just something for life. He made us that way. Okay, now stand up. Except for Carrie. Do this. Stretch. Okay, good. Now you sit again. I don't want you to miss this. Let me talk about night and darkness, and you can easily go off to sleep. I don't want you to do that. In the next verses, it says, this is just amazing. Listen to this. You shall not be afraid. And this is because God's taking care of you. You understand? If God's taking care of you, you won't be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste in noonday. Isn't that great? In other words, the stuff you can see and the stuff you can't see, you only feel the bump, hear the bumps in the night and feel the stuff. You know what I'm talking about? At nighttime? And you have the fears not come out a little bit stronger at night? Maybe you're different than me. But they tend to come out, you know? In the daytime you see it and you go, ah! At night you go, ah! Because there's all this stuff coming on you. But you don't have to fear because God's there. And Satan will play all kinds of mess in you, and the world will give you all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you watch the news, you think that we're going to get nuked by somebody immediately and it's going to be a terrible thing. The world's going to fall apart. Everything's going to go. Your money's going to be worthless tomorrow. Everything's going to... And they can really get you upset if you watch the news cycle, right? And it's on 24 hours a day, so you can watch it all the time. You need to get away from that and get into the Word. It's okay to take on a little bit. I've tried to keep up because I need to see what's happening, just find out what's happening in people's lives and what they're fearing. But I don't have to fear that because I walk with the Lord and He's promised to take care of me. Hey, if the worst thing that can happen on this world is I die, then Paul said that's what? That was kind of weak. Paul said that's what?
Gain.
You understand? To live is Christ and to die is
gain.
And it's good. Dying is not a bad thing to do. Now, I'm not getting a group to go up now. But you need to understand, it is not bad to die. That has been conquered. Now, we need to be here as long as the Lord wants us here. He has things for us to do. You don't need to fear that. You walk where you are. And one day He's going to take you. And when He takes you, He'll take you and you go to heaven. And you'll get there and you'll go, why did I ever worry about this? The only reason you worry is because you've got to face some change. Right? You don't know what it's going to be like. And you don't know how you're going to take care of yourself. Well, the answer is you won't take care of yourself. He'll take care of you and everything's there. So you don't need to fear. And He talks about the situation where you can actually be looking out and there's thousands of people that are freaking and dying all around you. But it's not going to come near to you. You'll just stand and watch it take place if you are with the Lord. Does that mean bad things never happen to good people? Now, I already said He rescues you out of the net, right? He delivers you. And He's got this great thing that He says in this next section. Notice the seven eye wheels that are healed, because all of a sudden it changes again. First, it was the psalmist saying, this is what I've seen. And then he goes, this is what God does. You can count on this. And then the changes, the preposition changes now, or the pronoun changes now, to God being the one who is the eye. And God says, because this person, because he has set his love on me, therefore I will. Because he has known my name, he shall and I will. I mean, it's just God saying this. And these are people. You know what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? This is what it means. To set your love on Him. This is what it means. To really know His name. I was in a restaurant the other day, and I go there regularly, meet with some guys there. And it's a restaurant run by Middle Eastern guys. And the Middle Eastern guys that run the restaurant are Muslims. And as I was sitting down, we were finishing up our time together, and I usually interact with the guys a little bit. And I noticed one of them had his prayer beads. Muslims have prayer beads. Did you know that? And they have a string of beads that are around. They don't have a cross on the end of it, you need to say. But it's a string of beads. And they have these beads, and they have 99 beads on that prayer bead, on that necklace that they have, this prayer bead chain. And each one of those is a name for God. And you know what he was doing? He was just sitting there. It was downtime. And he was going through one bead, and then another bead, and another bead. And I know what he was doing. You know what he was doing? Mentally, he was saying the names of God. Yeah, you know, what's horrible is people don't know God's name. In His name, He relates who He is. And people, I ask my students at seminary, one of the classes I have men, I give them a test. And I say, okay, this is the first day of class, here's a test. And they go, I say, I did it to you because I didn't want you to study. I just want to see what you know. Write down all the names of God that you know. Go. And I usually don't get many past 20 names. Sometimes I don't get that many of them. And if you don't know God's name, Satan's up to beat the tar out of you. But if you know God's name, then you'll know that He can handle that. God can take care of that because He is this, this, and this. There are over 365 names and titles of God and types of God in the Bible. That's one a day you could have. And most Christians can't give you even 20. We need to know more. If Muslims can do it, we can do it, right? And they work off a book that didn't truth. Well, anyway, it says here, because he set his love on me, I will deliver him. I was asking the Lord, how can I set my love on you? And the Lord brought to my mind this passage from 1 John chapter 2. It's kind of interesting. This is the negative way. This is what you don't do. Because sometimes you define things you do by what you don't do, right? Check here like this. Okay. Do not love the world. Now, it's talking about the world system. Okay? The system that operates in the world. It's the system that operates in the world where God is not a part of it. Are there many things in our world where God is not the part of it? Name one. That God is not a part of. I mean where He's... You know what I mean by that. I mean, He's everywhere, but He's not a part of these systems. Like what? Like killing, like war, okay. What else? Killing, all right. He's not... But I'm talking about a system. Killing is not necessarily a system. There's systems that operate in our world. Let me tell you, we have a saying, or there was when I was growing up. It came on every Saturday afternoon. It's ABC's Wide World of Sports. Is there a world of sports? Their sports world has its own genre. It doesn't matter what, and then it breaks down in subdivisions, but it's got a genre, its own way. Is there a world of finance? Is there a world of design? Yeah, and clothes and buildings. And I mean, there's all these world systems that are around. You understand? And the Lord says, don't love these world systems. Because it's real easy for us to get caught up in the world systems. Al was in a world system when he found out that he had cancer. Because that's where they found it. Right? And so he goes that. You know what the world system says? No, the world system gave him a chart or information. And I'm trying to remember this, Alan Hilda, but they were saying, if you take this drug, then you'll be able to live for 6 months, right? And if you take this along with this drug, then we maybe can get you to 8 or 9 months. And if you take this and this and this drug, then maybe we can get you to this amount of time. But the fact of you being well from that was not in their scope of vision. They didn't say, we give you this and you're going to get better. You know? And the doctor who operated on him, bless the man, he's a great man, he's a good man. And he's a believer. But Al asked him, do you believe that God can make people well? And he said, well, I really want to believe that. And there's a system. And he's so caught in the system that it's hard for him to get past the system. Though God give a lot of credit to him. He had people from his church come in and pray for Al. Isn't that neat? So we were praying, and he had another group praying, and so this was really, and the doctor prayed with him. That doctor actually prayed with him. But there's a system that doesn't understand God's involvement, and so they don't bring God into it. And if you love the world, then you'll go and join that world, and you'll be like everybody else in high school. You'll be like everybody else at work. You'll be like everybody else because you get sucked into this world system. And it's like a whirlpool, folks. I mean, you get in it, and it just keeps swirling you around. And you just keep going around, and you get in the system. And God operates beyond that system. And He wants you to walk with Him. So we love, I mean, we have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We can be really different. And so we don't love the world. We don't love the things in the world. I love my car. You know, my car is a piece of transportation. I like my car. It's the first car I've really liked that I have. But I don't love my car. Love my wife. Love my children. Love you guys. But things. If anyone loves the world, this is a heavy one. Love of Father is really not in. Does that mean he doesn't know God? I don't know that's saying that. It's saying that you haven't plugged into God because your life is so caught up in what's here. And I know we've got to make a living, but you know what? God can help you with that. There was a black man whose father was a slave. He had very little opportunities in life. But he did go to college, and he was a scientist. And one day he asked God, why did you make the peanut? And God gave him, this is what he says, God gave him 300 patented uses for the peanut. Don't tell me God can't be involved. You know who that was? Booker T. Washington. I mean, it's... But he was not in the world system. He went beyond that to God and brought God into the world that he lived in, and they produced these things. And God blessed him. Well, that's what we don't do. What do we do? I'll just read the rest of this. He goes in and explains, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's where you really want to get something. If I just had this, it'd make me happy. Have you ever thought that? If I just had that, then I'd be happy. If I could just get this, then I know I'd be happy. It's a carrot in front of a cart to make a horse run. It's not real. Because you get it, and you won't be happy. Oh, you'll be thrilled for the first week or two, maybe even six, but it just begin to fade. And you need to do something else. And lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. And the world, it's passing away. It sometimes recycles, but it's going to pass away. I mean, I have ties that are beginning to come back in style. We just didn't get rid of them. It's funny how clothes do that, isn't it? Just keep it, and it'll come back. If you really like it, keep it. It'll come back in style. You'll wear it again. It's all passing away, but He does the will of God will abide forever. The other thing that is positive that we do when we set our hearts upon God is we make a focal point in our lives that the directive of our lives is to love God with all we got. And we throw that up a lot, but Jesus said that's it. If you want to know what you're supposed to do in the world, He said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. You know what it is? We simply love Him. We love Him. And then the second was love people. And if we do that, then we do what His burden is for us. We move from loving self and the world to loving God and others. When you do that, you're setting your love on Him. When that's the focus of your life, when that's the desire of your life, that changes. So many times it's, I have this, and it's me, and it's mine. Watch your talk. Watch your thought. Is it I, me, my? I'm hurting so bad. I'm having such a hard time. This thing's so rotten. This job just is, you know, and you just, I, and all the stuff that's around you rather than you're focusing on God. If I could hang out with your brain for 24 hours, I'd be able to map for you what your focus is. Is your focus the Lord? He wants to be involved in everything. Because He set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Somebody, who was it? Already mentioned that. Elaine mentioned the three guys. You remember them? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You remember those boys? You know them by... Yeah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, that's their Babylonian names. But their given names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Every single name of theirs pointed them to God. God is something. God is this. God is this. Daniel, God is judge. Their names talked about God. And they gave them these names so they'd try and forget about God. But Shadrach and Beni were in the fire. Remember that? And the Lord came and delivered them in the midst of it. I'll deliver you. He says, I'll deliver him. Because he knows my name, knows my name, I will set him on high. You know the picture in the Old Testament of being up high was in a day pre-guns, in a day where all you had was bow and arrow that were not like our compound bows that have a lot of power, but they're just bows that they made. You could get up high enough to where that stuff couldn't get to you. They can only throw a spear so high. And it couldn't get to you. So in battle, you were safe if you had a high place. That's what God's saying here, using this vernacular of their society. He'll set you up. He'll set you above all the fray. He'll set you above it. It's akin to the verse in Isaiah where God says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. He'll give you a new perspective, a different way of looking at stuff. If you'll just go and live with Him. If not, you'll be like everybody else. Will God love you? Yes. Will you go to heaven one day? Absolutely. If you know Jesus is your Savior, you're going there. He paid the price. This is not about that. This is about living life the way that God wants us to live. That's unique and different in the world. Where we love each other, and you get past all the other mess, because He's told us we love each other, and we need each other, and we get with each other, and we love Him. He shall call upon me, I love this, and I'll answer him. remember the prophets of Baal with Elijah? They were crying out to their God. They spent all morning, went through lunch. Elijah's sitting over eating his peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they're going bananas trying to get their gods to do stuff. They're cutting themselves, trying to get their gods to listen to them. Because none of the gods of the world hear. But God will answer. Because He calls to me, I'll answer Him. I'll be with Him in trouble. If you dwell there, it doesn't mean trouble won't come. But it means He'll be there. When I was a little boy, we lived in Charlotte, and a tornado came through. I was young. I don't know how old. 7. So I was with some boys, and we built a fort in some woods that were right behind my house. There was a cow pasture. Billy Graham's mom and dad had a cow farm right behind our house. And so cows would come over and visit us, break the fence and come over and visit us every once in a while. But we would go down to the woods that was at the end of that pasture. And there were trees there. And we built us a little fort community that boys would do, you know. And we had it, and it was great. And we were down there playing one day, and, you know, cloudy, but it was cloudy yesterday. And so we were out playing, and all of a sudden the wind started going really big. And the sky started turning yellow. I know now that that means there was hail in the sky. I didn't understand that when I was a little boy. I just knew this is really weird. And the trees were, they were pine trees. So you know how pine trees are, right? And at the edge of where the pine trees began, one of them cracked and part of it fell. So all of a sudden, all of us realize that this is not the normal thing and we need to get out of Dodge. So we started running to all different directions. It was every man for himself. And I remember running hard to get home. It wasn't far. I mean, it's like running from here to the other side of the pond out there. I mean, it wasn't like I was miles away. But when you're little, and you got this storm coming, and you can't do anything about it. And we didn't have a tornado set down there. It was just, it did somewhere in the area of Charlotte, but not there. But I remember the fear. And I remember running. And I tell you what, one of the greatest sights in the world for me on that day, the greatest sight in the world for me on that day, was my dad in the backyard looking for me. I don't even know if he remembers that day, but I remember it's part of my brain activity. Because I was in trouble, and I was able to run to somebody who would be my refuge. I didn't know that he couldn't take care of stuff. You know, I mean, I ran to him, and I remember I went and embraced him, and he said, "Be all right, come on." And he took me on inside, and I don't think it was a big deal for him, but it was just a storm. But for me, it was a big day. But can I tell you something? God's not like my dad. God is the one who owns everything. He's the one who can give to us. He's the one who has relationship with us. And He has all power. And you can run to Him. And in trouble, you'll be in it. Sometimes it's not of your making. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's of other people's device. And they're being used by Satan to call stuff. Remember? Our fight is not against flesh and blood. But when you're in there, He'll be with you. You can say, "Lord, I don't know what to do." The prayer I pray all the time in so many situations was prayed by a king when a heavy nation, a superior battle army was coming against his little city. Their city wasn't really big. It was smaller than the campus of John Wesley, of this college where we are. And this nation with hundreds of thousands of warriors were coming upon them. And the king looks up to God and he says these words, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And in trouble, I got to tell you, that's a great prayer. He said, "Lord, what do we do?" And you know what God does? He helps you. Not only does He help you, but look at this. in trouble, He'll deliver you and He'll give you honor. What you thought was going to wipe you out and destroy you and was going to be the worst thing that could happen, God will turn that around and deliver you and say, here's my son. Here's my daughter. And He'll use you as a trophy of His grace throughout all eternity, but He'll use you as a trophy of His grace right now. He'll give you honor. With long life, I'll satisfy. That's if you know His name. Because if you don't know who He is, you get to walk life. And you know He's God, but you don't really know who He is. And you meet up with conditions and you'll go, oh. And sometimes come, oh. And eventually it'll wear you out. And you'll wipe out. But He wants to bless us. And He wants to show us His full salvation. What a God that we have. There's nobody who's like Him. And He wants you to come in and dwell in His secret place. Come be with me, He says. I wish that I could take you there. But I can't do that. I wish I could encourage you strongly all day long to abide in that secret place. But I can't do that. I can do it for me, but I can't do it for you. All I can do is just say, it's great. It's good. I could spend the next 2 or 3 hours just telling you how God has helped us. And then we'd get other people stand up naked to go for hours on how God's done that. And so I'm not telling you anything new today, but I'm trying to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, as Peter said. I want to make it to where you remember what we're to do in life, where to go to God, where to live with Him. Because He wants us to live as uncommon people, not muddling through life like everybody else, but walking with Him through life. And it's our choice. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Lord, that You invite us to come into Your presence. And dwell so close to You that You can shadow us with Your presence. You can surround us with Your arms and we will be protected from all the onslaughts that are in life. And we can call upon You and You're there to help us in any time of need. You deliver us when we've been caught up by the evil one and have believed lies and have stepped into things that he's had for us and we've messed up and we've sinned. And You can deliver us from that. Thank You for delivering me. Would You just remind us, Lord, as we walk in the world? Because it is so easy for us to forget and again get mesmerized by our society. Help us to remember You. For You're the greatest. Thank You for saving us by Your grace, so that we have eternity to look toward to in the future. But thank You so much that we can live in eternity right now as we walk with You and experience all that You have for us in eternal life. Thank You for making that really abundant. We give You our lives, Lord, because You gave us Your life. And we love You. And we praise You in Jesus' name.